Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
It's Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton and Mark Halleck and Dan Hurst. You can figure out which one's which. And we have been doing a series of podcasts now from Mark Halleck's office in at Calvary Englewood. Thank you, by the way, for hosting us.
Oh, man,
letting us
so
come
much.
Here.
It's love you guys.
And using
yes.
your equipment and everything.
It's been great.
Really nice.
So
appreciate
fun.
That.
So grateful.
One of the things that I love about your church, Halleck, is that your church loves worship.
We love worship.
I was just in talking to some of your people, took a few minutes during lunch, and I looked at all of the sound equipment and their spring cleaning and getting rid of this equipment. And I'm having a feast with this. You know, I'm this is the kind of stuff that I love. And I thought, man, it's so exciting to be in a church that loves to worship because it is the thing that makes a difference.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
In community in a church and
Amen.
Connection in a church.
Yeah.
On the other hand, there are a lot of churches that just don't sing.
Yeah, that's right.
Or if they do, and there's a lot of criticism right now about, oh, we should go back to hymnals, or we're not singing the traditional hymns.
Right.
Some of it's legitimate, I think.
Yep.
But there are reasons why people don't sing, and you found this North Carolina.
North Carolina
Baptist.
There are actually
nine reasons.
Nine reasons.
There's not ten.
There's nine.
There's not eight.
Nine reasons.
There are nine reasons.
Yep.
Our friends, the North Carolinian Baptist, came up with nine reasons.
We love them.
Why your people are not singing.
Singing, and that's the key.
Singing.
Because I would say one of the things about our church that I will say, if Ben, our worship pastor here, is we want to be a singing church. We don't just want to be a band, loud band church. We want to be the congregation singing praises. And I think that's what this is getting at, is are we really singing anymore in church? And what are nine reasons why many congregations, there's not a lot of singing?
You know, when I was at one church I was at serving as pastor, people weren't singing. And the worship team didn't seem to either know or care, frankly. They were having a good time.
Yeah.
So I took my my phone one time and turned the camera on the congregation during the worship singing part so I could then share in a very lovingly way with our worship team, these folks aren't singing. Do you notice that? And it was kind of like, well, they should be. No, that's not the point.
Yes.
The point isn't that they should be. The point is that they're not.
Yeah.
And it's your job not to perform for them, but to lead them in singing.
Amen.
To be obedient in singing.
Amen.
So why, Mr.
Okay,
Howell,
let's talk about this. Nine reasons.
People,
okay?
Nine reasons.
Here's number one.
Number
you ready?
One.
And Dan, you got great thoughts on this, by the way. But number one.
This is a hot topic
They
for me.
Just don't even know the songs. Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody gets up on Sunday morning, Dan, and they say, man, I hope they teach us a new song today.
Do they?
They do. On the way to church. Kids, oh, Dad, please, are they going to teach us another new song? Oh, kids, we can only hope so. It makes my day to have... The thing I want to hear that music director say is, I'm going to teach you a new song today. Oh, good.
How do you feel about it, Mark? You know, one of the things that bothers me a lot is that we feel like if we sing, and I've heard them say this, I've heard music leaders say this, well, we sing the same songs over and over and over again. Well, maybe some churches do, but there are a lot of songs, hymns mm-hmm. that we grew up with that were part of our worship experience.
Yeah.
And I would hope that what's happening now in churches today is that we're singing songs that our children will grow up with.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had my my little 5-year-old grandson in church on Sunday. He spent the weekend with us. And I had to bring him up, you know, so everybody could sing.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I said, so what do you want to do? And he wanted to sing.
Mm.
And I thought, well, this would be good. You know, he sang Rejoice the Lord is King.
Really?
It was glorious, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, he's going to grow up with that.
Know that song.
You know, he knows that song, and that's part of his life. that's what's happened in a lot of churches right now, is we don't know the songs.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and we're singing songs that we're hearing on the radio, but guess what? Not that many people listen to the radio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, and out there in podcast land, not that many months ago, we had Keith Getty on this podcast, on this very podcast, and Mr. Getty said that in his church, their total library for the year is about 50 songs.
It's amazing.
They only sing about 50 songs, and they sing them, they repeat them. They don't do 100 songs. Mm-hmm. They do. They have a library of about 50 songs a year. So if that's okay for the Gettys, I think it's okay for you and me.
Yeah.
Limit the number of songs you ask your people to learn.
Yeah.
Absolutely. One, having been in radio for 112 years,
right.
I can tell you that the most successful radio stations are ones that play familiar songs.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
See, and they'll bring in a new one every once in a while.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they're in a very low rotation.
Right. Yep.
And we need to learn that from
churches.
Okay,
here's number two. We're singing songs not suitable for congregational singing. Now, here's what he says. There are lots of great new worship songs today, but in the vast pool of new songs, many simply are not suitable for congregational singing by virtue of their rhythms. They're too difficult for the average singer or too wide of a range. Consider the average singer, not the vocal superstar on stage. So we're singing songs that are not suitable for congregational singing. What do you guys think about that?
Well, we add a lot of instrumental stuff, you know, in those things, like between verses, for example. I mean, it's not unusual, and I've been in, just recently I was in a church where between there was four stanzas to the hymn that they were, and it was a hymn that they were singing, but it was a little bit little more updated, you know, a little more contemporary. But between every verse, they had about 20 to 30 seconds of music.
Interesting.
And it,
just
so people,
instrumental.
Yeah, just instrumental. And people would just stand around.
Not sure what they're supposed to do.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Or they have a strange bridge. Or
a strange bridge.
We don't need anybody adding anything to Ancient and Wonderful Hymns to make them adaptable to millennials. All right? So we don't need something added to Be Thou My Vision. I don't even think we need anything added to Amazing Grace. Just sing it the way it's written. Now, that's the old curmudgeon for me. But can we quit adding cute little bridges
to
ancient hymns?
You remember when we were kids and we sang Amazing Grace to the House of the Rising Sun?
We did that. Or to Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan's Island.
That's right.
Yeah, that's okay. But that's
Amazing
Grace,
how sweet the sound.
But when I'm in churches and they do silly things like that.
You're not going to let me sing it, are you?
It reminds me of that.
You're not going to let me sing it.
No,
right?
But dude, Jared Wilson, who's my age. Listen, Jared Wilson, who's my age, he tweeted this a couple days ago. Older songs or hymns are not improved by adding those little millennial whoop bridge ditties to them. Please stop making them. Please stop making us sing them. Anyway.
That's what I just
whether said. You agree or not, then he's kind of mocking himself. Whether, you know, again, there's some bridges that I think are fine, but it gets a little ridiculous sometimes when we feel like we have to improve.
Well, it becomes a show.
Yeah, yeah, you know, that's right.
You know. Okay, keep going.
Okay, here's number three. We are singing in keys too high for the average singer.
Yeah.
That's
I will tell you, as I've gotten older, my voice gets lower.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they sing some of those things, and I'm singing an octave lower.
Yeah,
you know, I feel like Johnny Cash sometimes. You know, it's just, what are we doing?
Yeah. You're not getting up serious. Number four, the congregation can't hear people around them singing. Well, let's talk about that.
Well, you go to an old building like we had at Warnell Road, and the acoustics are amazing.
Yeah.
I remember I took Jimbo on our team over to Warnell not long ago, and he was at the very back of the sanctuary. It's a big sanctuary. It seats 700. And I'm up on the platform speaking in a normal voice, and he can hear every word I say. So the acoustics were made in those days because you didn't have microphones. So the acoustics are very important. And you could actually hear yourself sing. Now we have room deadening acoustics, right, that are made for sound systems, and so people can't hear themselves sing. That's part of it. They're not in an environment where they can hear one another sing. And if you walk into an environment where you can hear each other sing, it encourages you to sing.
Plus, we've added instruments.
Yeah.
That's
loud
ones.
We have, when was the first time you ever heard a drum had a drum trap in your church?
Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago, you know. I mean, why we just started adding more and more instruments.
And by the way, not every song needs a full trap set. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Just because you got a guy doesn't mean he needs to play on every song.
It's hard to do that on Were You There.
And it might be nice if he had one different rhythm than the one he plays on every song, too.
Why would you guys say, think about this for a second.
You've been to that church?
No, I've been
there. The guy's got one rhythm. Every song, the same rhythm.
Okay. Why would you guys say, though, seriously, in the local church, why is it important for us to be able to hear one another? What's going on there when we
because
hear
the Bible
one another?
Tells us to sing to one another.
That's right.
You know, yes.
And we encourage each other in our singing.
Yes.
And I think it's so critically important to understand that when the music is too loud, what we're telling the people is that their singing isn't worth it. Telling them that your singing isn't important. Everybody's saying, and then the music's too loud.
Yeah.
What we're telling them is we don't really want to hear you.
So recently, and I've probably listened to this podcast and I'll probably get in trouble. But recently at a church where I have been serving, we'll sing at the end and I want it to be a cappella. And so I'll say, just sing this last verse a cappella. Or I'll say, sometimes I tend to just start singing in the end of a sermon. I'm not a good singer, but I do that only because I want the people to sing with me.
Yeah.
And so I have done that a couple of times, even at this church I'm at now. And we'll come to the end of a sermon, and I'll say, hey, you know, just sing this with me. And I'll just say, you know, what can wash away my sin? And they'll respond, nothing but the blood of
Jesus.
And then the guy starts playing the piano.
Mm.
Yeah. No, you don't need to play. You don't need to play.
Yeah.
And yet it happens every time. And I'll even say, you know, a cappella, and yet he feels like, oh, I can play that. Yeah, I know, but you don't need to play every song.
Yeah.
And it's like, guys, if people know the song and they can sing it, just put the instruments down for a while.
Let them sing.
We don't need to hear instruments on every song.
Yeah. No, that's true.
All right.
This goes to number 5. We've created worship services, which are spectator events, building a performance environment.
Yeah, I call that, you know, It's just a Branson show for Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, we create these shows.
Yeah.
And you know, and we do, and I'll tell you right now, like in our church, we have smoke machines.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I remember that from my days in the bar.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it reminds me of.
Yeah.
And I think, how does that enhance my worship? You know, and special lighting, which is, I think lighting is important. Good acoustics is important. Good sound equipment is important. But it's not a show.
Well, yeah, I think one of the problems, one of the things we've swerved into in the last few decades is we've become very aware of stage presence and staging.
Mm.
So what's your backdrop? What's your colors? Because now lighting is so easy to do with all different kinds of colored lights.
Yeah, that's true.
And again, you have a sermon series. What's your backdrop? What's your staging on all of that? And all of that's kind of fun and interesting, but it tends to make it look like a spectator sport.
Yeah.
We're here to watch something take place on this stage rather than we're all here to make much of Jesus together.
And what I always say is, look, we're trying to do what they're doing in theaters, you know, and Broadway,
and
that sort of thing. And the reason they do it, the reason the community theater does that and Broadway does that, is they're trying to get you to suspend your belief. And what are we doing?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I'll be honest with you, gentlemen, coming forward, less is going to be more.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be long until, trust me, you heard it here. Mark down the date, today's date. Ready? There'll be a time when churches are going to start taking down the video screens. I believe that. I really do. Because everything we do is so video-centric now that it's going to be very different to walk into a place and not have the video.
Yep.
Maybe you have video to show the pastor's face up there if it's a big building. But I'm talking about, I think you're going to go back to words on a printed page to sing from. I think you're going to go, you know, a platform with a pulpit and all the other stuff up there.
Just simple.
I mean, can you imagine if you walked into a church and there wasn't 9 music stands, a trap set, 4 guitars, 3 keyboards? There was just, I don't know, a pulpit?
Yeah, yeah.
What does that say about why we are here?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm going to get all kinds
of
trouble.
No, that's good.
For that.
No, that's okay. Here's number 6. Let's keep this rolling, though. The congregation feels they're not expected to sing.
Yeah.
And that ties in with what we're saying.
Well, especially if there's such good performers up there.
Yeah.
And they sort of take off and sing a line all on their own that's sort of a... Or even more recently, I was at a meeting where they were singing a hymn that everybody knows, but the keyboardist was pretty good and she had a great voice and she could sing the line differently.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which was really pretty. But then we all left going, well, we didn't know it was coming like that. We can't. So this is about you singing the line, not us, not you leading us to sing the line.
Yeah.
And it becomes a performance.
Yeah.
A couple more here. Number 7 is we fail to have a common body of hymnody, which I think we've talked about a little bit mm-hmm. with Getty's talking about. Yeah. There's just so many songs, and it's you know, we become we pull songs. He says this in the article: we pull songs from so many sources without reinforcing the songs and helping the congregation to take them on as a regular expression of their worship.
Yeah.
Whereas for you guys, you think about it, you grew up singing, you know hymns. There's songs you know, you guys could sing together sure. over and over again.
Sure.
And I just don't think there is a common body. I think the other thing is, I mean, my guess is that the Baptist hymnal that you guys grew up with, guess what? Every Southern Baptist church, they're all singing out of that Baptist hymnal.
Yeah.
Well, now, are you singing Hillsong? You're singing these guys? You're singing these guys? Yeah. You see what I mean? There's almost different tribes of music.
Well, they're definitely different tribes.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Theologically and otherwise.
Oh, man, I can walk into church you know? And look at what they're singing and yeah. know exactly kind yeah, of what tribe
that's
they're
right.
in.
The Gettys, if I'm singing stuff
Absolutely.
At the Gettys,
Matt
it tells
Papa,
you a lot.
Matt Ball's
That's bro. Right. About that church versus these guys over here, yeah. Bethel stuff or whatever. Yeah. You know
and
what
at
mean?
Least you think three of us don't know what we're doing. I don't know what I'm doing here. But Halleck has actually recorded several CDs and written lots of music. He is a musician, really, before he was a pastor. And Dan, my goodness, worship leader for years and years mm-hmm, and years. Mm-hmm. Song leader, singer, songwriter, again, yep. produced albums. These two guys are all about church music. Mm-hmm. They have done it. So don't be sitting there thinking, well, these are three preachers picking on church music. No, these are two guys. This is one preacher picking on church mm-hmm. music and two guys who know what they're talking about.
Well, we care about it. Deeply.
It's worship.
That's right.
You know, and if it, at some point, when it ceases to show the worship of God,
amen,
then it's not, then it's a show.
No, you're right. You're exactly right. Two more, guys. Number eight, worship leaders, this is interesting, worship leaders ad lib too much.
How about they just talk too much?
Well, dude, we've talked about that.
Well, in fact, we did a podcast where we talked about things that we wish
our worship
leaders would
say.
Not say.
Hey, everybody, how are you today?
Everybody smile.
Make you sing better.
How about those cheeks?
They can't hear you.
Or, you know, Jill and I were at Merlefest a couple of weeks ago, one of the largest bluegrass festivals in the world, 50,000 plus people there. And so when the big name bands come out, like Steep Canyon Rangers or Old Crow Medicine Show or Sam Bush, they just come out and sing. They come out and sing, and they'll sing a song. But they had a bunch of new groups that would sing between those. And like one group saying, this is our second performance. And they got to tell us the song they're going to sing,
yeah.
how they wrote it, why they wrote it, yeah. what it means. It's like, I don't need to hear. You know, the main groups don't do that. They yeah. just come out and sing their song.
Yeah.
But these guys got to tell us why they're singing it, what it means. That's what we're talking about, ad-libbing that way.
Yeah.
You don't let the song sing. Yeah. You don't need to tell us what the song's about, why we're going to sing it, what it means. Just sing it.
Well, the best worship leaders disappear. Yeah. You don't even know they're, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're trying to, again, help the congregation really be the lead worshipers.
Well, and I really believe that the best worship leaders don't even direct music.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, remember the old days, we'd stand around four
yeah,
time.
The arm,
and,
yeah.
You know, you'd lead like you were leading a choir.
He doesn't
or something
remember,
like that.
But back when we were kids,
yeah.
you have volunteer music leaders. They'd always stand at the pulpit and they'd move their arm.
Direct but, the congregation?
But most of them,
yeah.
they weren't doing it. They were just moving their arm with
they
the music.
Just, yeah, with the music.
And really, what the deal was, it was the pianist who determined the yeah. tempo, not the guy moving his arm. He moved his arm to keep up with her.
Yeah.
So would like,
people sing
I'm
faster.
Just really curious about this. This is funny to me. So would the is it the worship? Would it be like the choir leader would also do that to
yeah,
the congregation?
Yeah, he or she.
Or she, yeah.
Would stand in, at the pulpit, and with their arms, they would lead the congregation. Now, the one thing about that, because imagine you guys who can't see this because you don't have your video cameras on, but right now I'm moving my arms like yeah. I'm leading. The one thing that did do, it communicated to the congregation, you're supposed to be singing.
True, that's true.
Yeah.
So if a guy stands up there, he's not playing a guitar, yep. he's not playing a keyboard, you can't even see the musicians, the organist is behind one rail and the pianist is behind another, and they're off the stage. He's on the stage and his arms are moving and he's basically saying, sing with us.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's not the case anymore.
But the key really all comes down to this ninth point.
Yeah, ninth point is worship leaders are not connecting with the congregation.
Yeah. They feel like, oh, I'm supposed to connect with God. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. But you're also to connect your people to the Lord.
Exactly. That's
and,
right.
I mean, you're not a worship leader if your people aren't worshiping.
Yes. Amen. Well, guys, there you have it. 9 reasons congregations aren't singing anymore. I pray that we would lead congregations that do sing and love to sing. And I think that's where we as pastors help to cast vision for that and model that and talk about it. And man, God's people were made to sing, you know?
Yeah. And the truth is they want to sing.
They want to sing.
They do want to sing.
They want to sing.
And they want to sing songs that mean something to them. And there are a lot of great new songs that
yes,
do
absolutely.
Mean some great things. And
yep.
we should sing those.
Amen. Yep.
But just for the sake of feeling like we've had a good time is not worship.
That's right. That's right. Cool. All right. Take us home, Dan.
All right.
Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Oh, you know what it was? It was absolutely Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Oh,
remember?
Sure. Of course.
You know.
You're not going to sing that now, are
well,
you?
Well, come on.
Wait,
what is it?
Remember?
Oh, you know what?
Are we out of time?
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.